What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
Time to say good morning to Ross Clifford. How's it going there, Ross?
I'm going well, thanks, Rodney. Yourself?
Oh, not too badly at all. Got a bit of rain here today, which we certainly still need, and not bad at all.
Praise God for that.
Mm.
Excellent.
Now, an interesting subject today. We're talking about this prosperity gospel, that which seems to be sweeping right around the world. Of course, we can look at different people's understanding of just what sort of wealth we should have. And you see people that believe that if you're a person of faith, that you should be pretty much living in poverty, right through to those people that believe that prosperity or financial wealth is really the mark of living the Christian life well. So I guess there's all those extremes and everything in between. But this prosperity gospel, where does it come from?
Look, the interesting thing is it comes from a movement in 1870 called New Thought. And this has been well documented amongst Pentecostal scholarship. And New Thought had the belief that what you think, you attract to yourself. So if you think good thoughts, then you attract good things to yourself. If you attract health and wealth to yourself, if that's what you are thinking about, if you're thinking bad thoughts or negative thoughts, that's what you'll attract to yourself. And so New Thought had a very strong influence on Christian Science, other movements, and it's documented how this took place. And it influenced guys like Hagen, and then went on to influence guys like Kenneth Copeland. And the first guy that got really stuck with it was a guy called Kenyon, and he got caught up with New Thought. He influenced Hagen, who influenced Kenneth Copeland. So it goes right back to 1870. Of course, that book, The Secret, by the Aussie Byrne, that is also on New Thought, and it shows a connection between prosperity gospel and New Age spirituality, that both have the same sort of sense that as you think, so it is. And, you know, your thoughts actually create your reality. Now, they put different language behind it, depending on whether you're Christian or not. But, mate, unquestionably, that's the origins of prosperity gospel as it's now been found in the Western world and is just saturating the rest of the world, particularly Africa.
But obviously a lot of these guys would look to Scripture as the basis for what they're telling people as far as this gospel of prosperity goes, and they would look and see where the Scriptures say that, it says that Jesus became poor so that we could become rich, and they would look at these sort of passages to see that they say that we should all become rich.
Yeah, and they looked at the Old Testament and looked at the blessings and the providence of God in the Old Testament, where God particularly associated land with blessing, while in the New Testament it's got much more of a spiritual connotation. But you're quite right. They looked at the Bible and looked at the premises of the Bible and what the Bible says about the blessings of God, and then applied those. But, Rodney, having said all that, its origins, let me tell you, unquestionably are New Thought of 1870. And you see that in the suggestion of the prosperity gospel. It is basically, as I think, so it is. My words, my faith, my thought creates my reality. And this all goes back to that movement. And, mate, that's what Pentecostal theologians and historians are finding. They're documenting that same process from Oral Roberts University and elsewhere, that was its origins. I don't believe it's a biblical origin. I think it's someone getting caught up with that and then finding biblical verses to justify that. And that reminds us how important it is that when we come to the Bible, we would let the Bible critique our worldview and not bring our worldview to the Bible.
But obviously there would be people who say that they would talk about in the Scriptures where God spoke the words and things were created, and I know that many people would then base their theology on that and believe that when we speak out, that things are then created.
Yeah, understandably, and people would take that thought and say that is the case. But of course, they tend to take their speaking out of things that are related to prosperity. And what the Bible says is there's no doubt that we should think positively, that we're children of God, and there's these blessings of God that we can claim. But the Bible also makes it very clear, mate, that what you and I think, what you and I speak, does not necessarily create the realities of the world. I mean, God is sovereign. He creates the reality for you and I. And we go through experiences that are beyond our own thought patterns. And God is responsible for that, as are circumstances in life. And And this sense that we alone create our reality, our thoughts, our faith, can be very dangerous. I was in a pastoral situation. It wasn't me, but it was another one of my pastors who wasn't allowed to go and minister to a particular man who was dying of cancer, because the friends and relatives said that because he wasn't committed to prosperity, because he wasn't committed to the fact that their thoughts can make this man well, because he wasn't committed to that, his negative thoughts could kill him. So they kept the pastor out of the room simply because his thoughts could kill him. Well, the man tragically died about 2 weeks later without that pastoral support and connection. Now, there's no basis of that biblically. People are just getting carried away with an ideology that has its origins outside of Scripture.
Of course, on the other hand, there's nothing in Scripture that talks against people being rich. There are warnings there, but there's nothing that speaks against people having that sort of financial wealth.
Oh, look, and I agree. I think one of the problems is that so many of us have downplayed the incredible blessings of God. I mean, that God does heal. I mean, that God does bless us in so many ways, that God blesses us with eternity and family and so many ways. And the promises and the blessings of God are something that the church should be positive about and capture and speak to. But having said that, the Bible also calls me to a life of servanthood. It also calls me to abandon what I have for others. It also calls me to focus on God and not myself, and that He is the sovereign Lord. You know, my mind doesn't create my reality. My God creates my reality.
Rodney Olson here, chatting with Ross Clifford, and today we're looking at the prosperity gospel. And Ross, it's something that, as you say, is sweeping across Africa. It seems strange that it would sweep through a country like that, where there just seems to be so much lack and there seems to be so much poverty.
Well, I think that's the reason why it's happening, Rodney. And as people point out, it's all very well for the West to say, you know, why is the prosperity gospel sweeping Africa and how bad it is? But those people are living in awful conditions, having just returned from Africa. And they see Western Christianity, middle class, upper class, and they think, well, why can't they have that same sort of Christianity, that same sort of blessing? And as others have pointed out, African religion and spirituality has always been about the supernatural. And one of the things prosperity gospel does remind us in many ways is that God works supernaturally and does incredible blessings in our lives. And so a lot of the other Christianity they've seen has been pretty dry in comparison to this sort of encounter with the supernatural, the God who moves and changes your conditions and changes your nations, and reflects more of what they see from American televangelists on television about the, you know, about the wonderful life that Western Christians do live. So, you know, they're wanting what we've got, and you know, it's all very well to be critical, but maybe we should think about whether we should live with the prosperity we have, or whether we should give a lot away to those who don't have anything at all.
I guess that's the thing, that when we're talking about whether we should be wealthy or not, we can look at people who, and Christians who have amassed great wealth and yet are giving great wealth away. And I guess it comes into play. We talk about the different scriptures to do with wealth, and there's scriptures saying that, you know, if you're given a lot, I expect a lot from you. And there are some Christians that have amassed great wealth and are doing wonderful things with it. And there's a lot of us that, you know, aren't doing so well. We're just not getting there and giving what we have away.
Oh, look, I couldn't agree more. And what the Bible encourages is, I think, neither to be rich or poor. I mean, the happy man is somewhere in between, who's not owned by his riches and is not downcast by poverty, but is living a comfortable, responsible life where they can give their money away, make those responsible decisions. Sadly, most people have a lot of wealth, tend to keep it to themselves. And one of the sad things coming out of America that Tim Costello from World Vision is reporting is that the American evangelists are receiving a lot more money out of Africa from their TV appeals and shows that are shown in Africa than the money that they're actually putting back into Africa themselves. So think about that. Their programs are in the poor countries of Africa, and they're receiving more income from Africa to support their American TV prosperity gospel evangelist programs, the money that they themselves are putting back into Africa for care and nurture and aid. That's extraordinary. They're taking from the poor to advance their own very wealthy programs in the States.
What about for us here in the West? I mean, obviously, if we are living in Australia, we're pretty much in the top 10% of wealth in the world. So I guess we've got to be as you say, putting back. We've got to be servants. We've got to be prepared to help those who do lack. But I suppose we've got to say, you know, what about for us? If we believe in this prosperity gospel, I wonder that there might be many people that are part of organisations that push the prosperity gospel, but they're not quite there. There must be enormous feelings of guilt.
Yeah, look, there are, and I think there's some changes happening in the prosperity gospel situation as well. I mean, I know Brian Houston from Hillsong is talking more about now, if there is wealth, then this wealth is to be used to aid the poor, you know, to advance the kingdom of God. It's not wealth simply for me to live in nice big houses and to feel good about myself. And, you know, so there is some coming together of what might it look like to be responsible in our wealth. But, Rodney, I just think that we in the West, you know, we need to be very careful. Prosperity gospel works easily in our environments because we are resourced. I mean, we have the capability of getting rich. And so, therefore, you know, it's a gospel that has that sort of connection. In other parts of the world where it's sweeping, you are dealing with people in abject poverty. And if the end result of the prosperity gospel is they're sending more money to American TV evangelists in order that they might have something of what we have got, then, mate, we've got something that's just really quite off. And we need to address that and say that. We need to go back and look at its origins. We need to get a much more biblically based understanding of Scripture. God's in control. He is sovereign. He wants us to be positive and think well about ourselves and life, to claim his blessings, but he also wants us to be a servant, to be committed to the poor, and not to get caught up with the sense that my words and my faith alone create my reality. That's a dangerous place to be at times.
Okay. Well, it's been interesting talking about this, and I guess it all comes down to finding that balance and again, looking at our own heart motives of, you know, why do we want wealth? And if, as I've heard many people say, they want to get wealthy to be able to give some away, I suppose we need to show that if we've got a small amount to be already giving and in the habit of that before we look for that wealth and say, I'll give away when I get a lot.
And it involves a discussion like we're having. I mean, I'm in a theological college here. We have people from charismatic, Pentecostal, Anglican, Baptist backgrounds, and we talk about these issues, and we study together on these issues, and it's time for the church to openly discuss these issues and see where we agree and disagree and find some common way forward, rather than just keeping them at the edges and not talking about it, because it's influencing all of us, influencing our world. Let's talk about it and talk about it honestly and put everything on the table as we do so.
Okay, Ross, we'll catch up with you this time next week. Thank you very much for your time today.
God bless you, my friend.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.